Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It is Thursday. I think my voice sounds less froggy this morning. Me, 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 me. See, so much better. That sounded more like a duck, actually, than a frog. So that's good news. I was a little bit froggy and groggy this time yesterday. Just the weird weather changes, pressure, and I don't know, a lot of people getting sick. I didn't want it to turn into something full-blown, so I decided better to stay quiet, suck on some cough drops, drink a lot of water, get a little extra rest, and voila, here I am. It's After Hours on our Facebook page, also online at Amy After Hours, because we've got a question that we need answered. If you missed it, Bill Belichick is, in fact, headed to college as a coach for the first time. And while many may believe this is just a ploy or a scheme to get back into the NFL, he said in a statement he's always wanted to coach in college. I definitely resist the idea that no one in the NFL is interested because we're not even there to the hiring cycle yet. I think he would have been a great fit for the Bears. I don't know what they're doing at their coaching position or what they're looking for. The Jets obviously weren't reaching out to him. Maybe he didn't want to go to the Titans. So who? Oh, the Saints, excuse me, the Saints. Sorry, Brian Callahan. Maybe that's not what he was after, but we don't know how many other jobs might have opened up. I don't think this is him jumping at a job because he doesn't think he's going to get another one. That's not Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has got 302 head coaching wins, 6 Super Bowl rings, and nearly 50 years experience in the National Football League. I'm pretty sure he's confident in his ability to get a job. Maybe he really does want something different and a different change. And I kind of feel like if you're a Bill Belichick, a caliber of coach, you don't need the money. You want to coach. That's what you love. It's not necessarily about the prestige or the stepping stone. It's about actual coaching. And he made some great points on his most recent round of media interviews. So going back to Monday and Tuesday, and producer Pete put those together in a montage so you can kind of hear it in his own words. This is pre the announcement and his social media statement, but this is Belichick in his own words about why he would consider a job on Chapel Hill.
I've had some conversations with the chancellor at North Carolina, and so we'll see how that goes. We'll just see how it goes. I have an open mind and have a, you know, I think the college game is closer to the pro game than it's ever been with the new kind of landscape in college football. So I've explored it, and we'll see how it works out.
The college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It will be an NFL program at a college level. I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League. Whether they're good enough or not, I don't know. But they would be ready for it. I don't have any doubt about that.
Is there anyone on the planet who could walk, other than Nick Saban, who could walk into a college locker room and have the instant credibility, respect, the equity, the experience to be able to tell those young men, you do it my way and you're going to be a winner. You're going to get those national TV appearances. You're going to play for conference championships. You're going to be in bowls, which actually Mack Brown, I guess you'd call them Mack Brown's Tar Heels, even though he was fired a few weeks ago. Those Tar Heels are playing in a bowl. They're 6-6 this year. They're headed to Fenway, which is kind of funny since it's in New England, to take on UConn. So they're in a bowl. But I would think the climate in the ACC lends itself to a coach who's got the work ethic, the experience, the knowledge, the commitment, the name recognition. The ACC is wide open. Right now, the climate in the ACC, even with Clemson winning yet another conference championship, that you have SMU in the top 12, a brand new expanded playoff, and it's SMU who gets in over Alabama. What does that tell you? It should tell you the ACC is wide freaking open for another guy to come in and turn a program around. If SMU can do it, so can North Carolina. And to me, that's the moral of this story, is it's the perfect climate in this conference for Belichick to come in, to use all of the tools that are available to him, and you'll hear more about that coming up, but transfer portal and NIL, and he's taking Michael Lombardi with him, who Patriots fans will remember. He was in the front office with New England for a few years, going back, a decade ago or so. He's already signed on as the general manager of these North Carolina Tar Heels, the athletic department. They're serious about spending the money. So to me, that gives every indication that this is the right time for Belichick and that he can see all of these things. There is some expectation that he will have his son, Stephen, on the coaching roster, the coaching staff, I should say. Stephen spending this last year in college with the Washington Huskies as their defensive coordinator. There is a possibility, I guess, that he could start to lure guys back that he's comfortable with, that are loyal to him, that he is loyal to, so that he can hit the ground running. He knows what he needs. He knows how he wants to build a program. If he spends a lot of time hiring coaches, well, then maybe it takes away from transfer portal or getting his roster together. But already there's a lot of buzz around it, and I think it changes everything on Chapel Hill just by him accepting the job. It already begins that process and puts the wheels in motion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to see and hear your reaction. 855-212-4227. A lot of you weighing in on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So there's a post up there as well as a post on Twix. And I think it's neat that many of you are supporting him. Now, I would like to see him get the all-time wins record in the NFL. He is 72. If he plays, if he lives out, Pete, I said it again. I just mean if he stays, right, if he stays at UNC for the life of the deal. And I'm trying to be careful about that because we've seen a couple of different reports. Inside Carolina and NFL Network are reporting a 3-year deal worth $30 million. So, Avi, that would be $10 million a year. Other outlets like Adam Schefter, ESPN, are reporting a 5-year deal. So we're not actually sure which one it is. There is an emergency meeting of the Board of Trustees today to approve the deal. Can't imagine they'd be putting together an emergency meeting if they weren't planning to approve the deal. So that's going to happen today. I hope we get him introduced at some point very quickly so we can hear what he has to say. But yes, inside intel coming up, part of a conversation with Brian Murphy, who's an investigative reporter who joined us from Raleigh. This portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. If you're stuck in a timeshare and want out, contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. A little bit later this hour, Rams Niners will get you ready for the kickoff to week 15 in the NFL. And in addition, a couple of, I would call them humorous, but maybe that's just me taking an irreverent approach to sports. Steve Kerr did not think it was humorous the way that the Warriors fell to the Rockets, though they did score a whole lot of no points, as in 0 points in the final 3 minutes of that game. Big deal for the Rockets, who ended a 15-game losing skid against Steph Curry and the Warriors. But Steve Kerr, he had different fish to fry, bigger fish to fry, if you will, and then got up and walked out of the press conference. Also, Trae Young still trolling Knicks fans, so we can work in some of that as well. But Andy Reid was a guest with Bill Belichick, so the two of them are together, along with Jim Gray, on Let's Go earlier this week, and they were talking about these reports out there. Now, Belichick wouldn't confirm or deny, but the reports were out there that Belichick might make this jump to college. This was Andy's reaction.
I've said it before, he's the greatest, and if whatever he chooses, he can go high school, wherever he wants to go.
High school.
He deserves a right, whatever makes him happy. I think the NFL, though, would be missing a great part if he decides he wants to come back. He might be enjoying this retirement. I mean, he's done this a long time.
It's been interesting to get a real perspective of the NFL, college football, working with people like Jim, on the broadcast side, the analytical side a little bit. It's actually been a fun year. I've enjoyed it.
So that's Bill, again, going back to Monday with Andy Reid on Let's Go. And maybe he didn't know at that point. Maybe they were leaning toward it. Obviously, he's going to keep his cards and play them close to the vest. But I think what Andy said is accurate. You've spent nearly 50 years in the NFL. You should be able to do whatever the heck you want to do. And so maybe people who believe this is just a stepping stone to get back to the NFL have him pegged wrong. He sounds pretty happy to me. And according to the reports from different sources around him, take it with a grain of salt, he's done a deep dive on NIL and transfer portal, a 5-hour second interview with UNC on Sunday to go over what I can imagine is every aspect of this program. So there's at least one program, one administration out there who's interested in all of his ideas as opposed to being intimidated by him, which was the report from some NFL front offices last year when he did not get a job. So, yeah, I'm all in. Rich Gannon, former NFL QB, about this move to UNC for Belichick.
He has 302 wins, placing him just 16 shy of the all-time record. A lot of people felt like he'd come back for that. I don't know that that's what motivates him. I mean, Bruce, when you done and won as much as he has at the highest level, maybe you're looking for another opportunity, another venture, and a way to impact the game of football at a different level. And I think, he talked about it. I listened to the interview. He basically said, we'll go in and we'll run an NFL program, which, these college with the NIL stuff, Bruce, is getting to be more and more like that. Players are getting paid. Players are being compensated. There's a whole recruiting process and the transfer portal, all those type of things. I think Bill would put together a great staff. People want to have stability in the coaching profession. I think he would certainly have that at UNC.
I think the NFL reaction is fascinating, but I think the reaction inside the college ranks even more so. It's going to be incredible to watch this play out. And just like Deion Sanders at Colorado, actually, let me amend that. More than Deion Sanders at Colorado, you're talking about a head turner. Now people will want to watch North Carolina football the way that people want to hear what Tom Brady has to say on a Fox broadcast. This is why, you may not think it's worth the money, but you're not writing the check, so who cares? This is why Fox goes all out and waits for Tom Brady, because he's Tom Brady. This is Bill Belichick. You can say he can't win a damn thing about Brady, and you would be wrong. Without Brady, I mean, it's just that argument to me is overblown, but you're going to watch because Belichick is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I think this whole thing is fascinating. Incredibly interesting. One of the stories that I did not expect, that's for sure. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to some of your phone calls. I don't think Bill Belichick is trolling us, but I'm certain that in the NBA with this whole cup business, that Trae Young is really into trolling the New York Knicks fans. He's now made a habit out of it. And after the Knicks fall to the Hawks, and they do it in a way that gives Trae Young extra fuel for his fire. So he has 8 points in a row to spark an Atlanta rally in the third quarter. He ends up with 22 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists. So another huge game for him. The Knicks, they get torched on the boards, especially the offensive rebounds for Atlanta, 22 of those. And now you've got Atlanta moving into the semifinals of the NBA Cup with a Trae Young taking the ball and his invisible dice and rolling them, pretending to roll them at center court on the Knicks logo. Now, I'd say this is a nod to Vegas, but it's also a nod to the NBA fans there in New York who can't stand the sight of him. He's okay with that.
It's a love-hate relationship. I mean, I got a lot of love and a lot of hate, I guess, from them, but I got a lot of love from them too, so it's respect.
I mean, we should win the game if we don't want them to do that.
Right? Jalen Brunson, he's just saying it like it is. You don't want him to roll the dice on your logo. Is this the NBA version of planting the flag at midfield? Yeah, so Trae Young has gotten good at this. I mean, he's been razzing the NBA or the NFL. Oh my gosh, Amy. Lots in my brain. Breathe, take two. He's been razzing the Knicks fans inside Madison Square Garden for years now because, remember, a couple of years ago they knocked him out of the playoffs, and so there's a bit of a rivalry there. I don't know if the Knicks fans would acknowledge it publicly, but they want to beat Trae Young, and boy, does he want to torch the Nets at their expense. So I think this is funny. And since nobody can figure out why the NBA Cup is such a big deal, if at all, and you have to have funky color schemes on your basketball courts to acknowledge that it's actually an NBA Cup game, that's how we let the fans know. It's like Pavlov's dog. You give us a treat every time we get it right. You give us a funky colored color scheme, funky colored court every time it's an NBA Cup game so we can learn that behavior. I'm sorry. I think it's a little bit over the top. It's gimmicky. It's like having a runner at second base in the extra innings of regular season baseball games so that we can speed up the pace a little bit. Whatever. I don't really get it, actually, what the point is, but Trae Young will take any opportunity. So that was kind of fun. Now, one more before we take our break. I won't go through all of what happened at the end of the Golden State-Houston game, only that the Warriors coughed up what was a 6-point lead with a minute and a half to go. That's not a long time in NBA schemes, especially when you can shoot the three. But what Steve Kerr is honing in on is a foul that was called with a few seconds to go. This is a loose ball foul. I've seen the play. It just looks like a couple of guys going for a ball. And there was a late whistle and a foul called. And that gave free throws to the Rockets, who ended up snapping a 15-game losing skid to the Warriors.
I've never seen a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college, 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is, I mean, unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. Give them a timeout and let the players decide the game. That's how you officiate. Especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. You know, they didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot, just clubbed right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line? This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battled back. They played great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game or at least have a chance for one stop at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made because that guy would have had feel and said, you know what, I'm not going to decide a game on a loose ball 80 feet from the basket.
He would have had feel. I like that. I mean, he's true. And it's not just those two bodies that hit the floor, Jonathan Kuminga, and I forget who it was for the Rockets. It was watching the sequence. It was 5, 6, 7 different guys who were down on the ground trying to corral this loose ball. So Fred VanVleet, Gary Payton, Jonathan Kuminga, Jalen Green, all these guys. So Jalen's the one that ended up taking the free throws. All these guys are down there on their knees trying to corral this loose ball. And he's right. How do you pick one foul out of that? Now, they didn't score any points in the final 3 minutes, so you can't say that's why they lost, but I understand he's furious and probably frustrated with the way the game ended up, too. Interesting, too, he's like, we wanted to win this thing. We wanted to go to Vegas. I actually think that's the bigger draw than winning the NBA Cup is the chance to go to Vegas.
Right, play some blackjack.
At A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, what's your reaction to Bill Belichick heading to Chapel Hill? We'll get some of the inside details coming up next. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
I think there's a lot of things he can do, and obviously he's tremendous, and even showing his personality, but getting out there on the recruiting trail and dealing with all these college kids, that
could
would be...
Could you imagine...
With NIL, yeah. Like,
could you imagine Bill on a couch... Listen, recruiting an 18-year-old?
You really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use off as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is quite the imitation by Tom Brady. Sunday, NFL coverage on Fox before his game. Gronk, Julian Edelman, they're hanging out, making fun of Bill Belichick and how he might communicate with college kids and their families. And a gruff mimicking from Tom Brady. But I actually think that most people will find this decision fascinating and will respect his choice and his ability to turn around North Carolina. So we will see. It happened late yesterday. Final approval expected today. We had a chance to talk to Brian Murphy, a senior investigative reporter for WRAL in Raleigh. And I asked him, why would North Carolina even think to approach Bill Belichick?
I've been told that he was on their long list, but I'm not sure they ever thought that he was ever going to come. I think, you know, a couple of things. One, North Carolina, particularly some factions of university leadership, I think, see this as a statement that they do care about football, that they're all in on trying to win in football. There's been a perception around here that, sure, football's nice, but, you know, we'll wait till basketball season. I think some people want to change that perception, and if you have the chance to get a coach of the stature of Bill Belichick, I think they were intrigued by that. I'm not sure everyone on campus was completely on board to begin with, but I think there were certain people who really did want to make this kind of a splash hire and prove that they're serious about it. You know, whether it will work or not, I think is up for debate, but they've certainly gotten the eyes of the nation on Chapel Hill and on Tar Heel football.
What kind of reaction, if any, have you been able to get from the athletic department or from the football program?
It obviously happened pretty late when it finally all came together, but we've seen quite...
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's PHILO.TV to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Reaction from people within the football program, but also recruits here in North Carolina, whether they're committed to North Carolina or whether future years. I've been surprised at how many have said, this changes my level of interest in UNC, or I definitely want to hear from him. And I think that's what UNC is going for. I mean, look what happened at Colorado, and I'm not trying to equate Belichick and Deion Sanders, but the same sort of splash hire changed the perception of the program. You know, I've heard that mentioned to me more than once, say, you know, can we get a similar bump to what happened with Colorado and Deion Sanders? Certainly they get a lot more eyeballs now. And to his credit, Deion has turned that program around on the field too. I think that's kind of what UNC is looking for.
Brian Murphy is with us from Raleigh and WRAL covering this breaking news story in the last few hours. Bill Belichick is, in fact, going to North Carolina. He's going back to school. In your opinion, what's been the biggest impediment to North Carolina fielding a winner in football?
If you hear Mac Brown talk, and of course he's the coach that was fired, all-time winningest coach in UNC history, you know, he'll say that they're not well-equipped to compete in this NIL transfer portal era. When Mac Brown, he coached six seasons. When he was first here, Carolina was signing really, you know, top 25 recruiting classes. As NIL has sort of taken over, that pipeline has dropped. And he said, you know, that they were only spending $4 million on NIL. Of course, with revenue sharing, that number will go up, but we're hearing that North Carolina has made a commitment to Belichick that they will spend in the NIL transfer portal space. And so we'll still have to see how serious that commitment is, but I think that's been one of the bigger impediments. You know, Mac Brown was an awesome recruiter, sort of worked his magic when he first got to UNC the second time, but as money became a bigger and bigger role, UNC sort of fell behind in that area.
We've also heard the report that Michael Lombardi, who's a former NFL front office executive and worked with Belichick going back to his days in New England, earlier days in New England, that he's about to become the school's general manager.
His former employer released that with a quote that said that he is happy to be coming back to Chapel Hill. It says two things to me. One, you know, how many Belichick loyalists are going to come to Chapel Hill? Is there going to be a staff full of people? You can go through some of the names, Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia. Are we going to see a lot of the old names recycled from the New England days? And two, it tells me that's probably the most important role in college football right now. Like, you've got to be able to identify talent, not only at the high school level, but what in the days would be called pro scouting, but in this case, it's college scouting. You've got to know who's available, who's going to come into the transfer portal, and who you might be able to get that's playing at a different school. And so that's a really important role, and we'll see if how Lombardi does in that role. But I think it's a vital position for any program right now.
Brian, obviously Chapel Hill is not devoid of star power. There are a lot of really high-profile, very successful athletes that have come out of UNC, most of them basketball, but still, I mean, there's a lot of people that walk around that campus, and they're known around the globe. And so here comes Bill Belichick. What do you think the reaction to him on campus would be?
We talked to a lot of students today and this week, and I think somewhat mixed. I think there's the sense of like, wow, you know, maybe the greatest coach of at least the NFL generation, six Super Bowls, is coming to Chapel Hill. So I think there's surprise. There's also worry. He's 72 years old. He's never coached in college before. You know, how is this going to work? And then, you know, Belichick is sort of known as a gruff personality, at least with the media and maybe with his players. Now, how is that going to play in a college town? How's it going to play with faculty? How's it going to play with media? How's it going to play with 17 and 18 year old kids as opposed to, you know, 26 and 27 year old grown men?
It's interesting to hear what Belichick himself had to say earlier in the week about how he would turn this into a potential pipeline for those talented players that had designs on playing at the next level. Do you think that's possible for UNC?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be one of the things that is attractive about what Belichick is going to put into place for those caliber of players. Can you get enough of those caliber of players to come to UNC, a team that doesn't have a huge history in football? They've had some very good teams, but largely been a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. What's interesting to me about that is, like, will everyone go along with that? Will everyone on campus go along with that? And will you be able to implement a system that outlives you? How long is Belichick going to be here? And if you invest in this system, this NFL-lite system that he wants to put on campus, and 5 years later he's gone, does that system continue? Or are you back to trying to find another young up-and-coming coach and going back to sort of a traditional model?
Brown was fired after a 6-6 season. He had a winning record over his time with the school. When you think about where this program has been and the fact that it's been a long time since they've been a contender in the ACC, what would the new expectations be?
Before the hiring happened, Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director, said, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, get from good to great. There's a lot of programs, I think, out there that say the same thing. But I think, you know, when you look at the ACC, you look at SMU coming into the ACC and its first year making the ACC championship game and making the college football playoff. I think a lot of schools, including Carolina, say, wait a second, why is SMU doing that? You've seen Pittsburgh go to the ACC championship game. You've seen schools like Wake Forest make it. Carolina's made it once or twice, but I think they look at the landscape and say, we should be a consistent contender for the ACC title game. And if you make it to the ACC title game, then you have a chance to make it to the college football playoff.
Right.
I think that sort of opened some eyes that when you look at a team like Arizona State or Colorado or Indiana or SMU, and you say, wait a second, I know North Carolina says, oh, hold on, we invest a lot of resources into our football program. We should at least be able to do what those schools have done.
If not Bill Belichick, what were a few of the other options for UNC at this head coach position?
One of the names that I had heard a lot was Jeff Monken. He's the coach at Army. Since Belichick's been hired, I've seen some reporting nationally that indicates Tommy Reese, who's a former Notre Dame and Alabama offensive coordinator, now working with the Browns, was the likely finalist. Glenn Schumann, he's the defensive coordinator at Alabama. And again, those guys are, particularly Reese and Schumann, are very young coaches with outstanding pedigrees. Schumann worked for Kirby Smart. He worked for Nick Saban. Tommy Reese worked for Nick Saban. Those are the types of hires I think most fans expected from Bubba Cunningham. Those are the type of resumes / experience that I think most fans anticipated. I mean, Tulane's John Summerall was top the list when the firing was made. He, of course, said he was going to stay at Tulane. I think going into it, that's the caliber of coach that most people thought North Carolina was going to land.
Well, Mack Brown is in his 70s when he got fired. Was there any indication there was a disconnect between him and the students and his ability to lead young people?
I don't think that was the problem. I mean, there were some embarrassing showings on the field.
Right.
They gave up 70 points to James Madison at home. After that game, Mack Brown went into the locker room and discussed quitting. There are different variations of what he said and what he meant, but I think after that game happened and the embarrassment on the field and then the uncertainty that came with some of Mack's comments, and Mack has said this, but I think the school began considering its future with football, you know, what it was going to do moving forward. There's only a year difference, less than a year difference in age between Mack Brown and Bill Belichick, but it feels bigger than that.
I'm glad you brought up the home games, as I was going to ask, what is the student body attendance like, the overall attendance at games prior to the announcement of Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, some apathy had, I think, set in this year. You know, before that, they had Drake May, they had Sam Howell, they had two NFL quarterbacks that, you know, both of the seasons that Drake May was the starting quarterback, they got off to really hot starts, rose up the rankings, and sort of collapsed at the end of the season. This year, that James Madison loss was in September, and you could just tell that attendance at games after that went down. I was at several of those games, lots of empty seats. I was at the NC State game to end the season, and there was an awful lot of red in the stands. And so I think there was a sense that Mac 2.0 had run its course, and there was time to do something different.
Let's assume that Bill Belichick is right now doing a lot of crash course in college football, NIL, transfer portal. What does he need to know about what is essentially the Tobacco Road corner, the rivalries, and what it's like to be a member of UNC?
The first thing, and I'm sure someone is telling him, is that he needs to beat NC State. NC State has beaten North Carolina the last 4 years. Most of those games have been very close, including this year, but NC State continues to get the best of UNC in football. You know, obviously the Duke game matters a lot. The NC State game matters a lot. It will be interesting to me to see what level of support there is for this program. Even when they've been very, very good, it's not the same type of rabid fan base, I would say, that even a school like NC State has. I mean, NC State is much more of a football school, I think, than UNC at this point. How does Belichick deal with that, first of all? And secondly, you know, how does UNC afford Belichick plus the spending on NIL that's going to come if they can't get that fan base engaged? I think part of this move is about igniting that fan base.
Ryan Murphy from Raleigh, WRAL, senior investigative reporter. More details to come out right now. We're hearing both a 3-year deal worth $30 million. That's coming from Inside Carolina and the NFL Network. But we're hearing a 5-year deal being reported in other places. So I expect we will hear directly from the university as well as Bill Belichick when there's an introductory press conference. And that, to me, is going to be must-see TV, as much as I'm not always into press conferences. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too, what's your reaction to Bill Belichick heading to Chapel Hill? This portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Dexter Henry.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, thank you, Amy, for high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more. Make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find a PXG store near you at pxg.com. Baseball news is what we'll start with. According to John Heyman of the New York Post, the Yankees and Cubs, they've had discussions about a trade that would send former NL MVP Cody Bellinger to the Bronx. Heyman reports that there was a bit of progress in talks on Wednesday. However, no deal is imminent. The main holdup appears to be regarding dollars. Chicago, they want the Yanks to assume most of Bellinger's remaining deal, while New York, they've been asking for the Cubs to include cash in any deal. The Yanks did continue to make moves at the winter meetings. The Bronx Bombers, they're bringing back a familiar face, signing righty reliever Jonathan Loaisiga to a 1-year deal. The contract will reportedly have a team option for 2026. Now, the Red Sox, they acquired left-hander Garrett Crochet from the White Sox on Wednesday. Catcher Kyle Teal, outfielder Braden Montgomery, infielder Chase Muedroth, and right-hander Wekoumen Gonzalez are headed to the Windy City in exchange for Crochet. The Mets, they officially announced the signing of Juan Soto on Wednesday evening. They will introduce the outfielder to the media at a press conference on Thursday at Citi Field. In college football news, 8-time Super Bowl winning coach Bill Belichick is going to be back on the sidelines, but not in the NFL. Belichick is now the new coach at the University of North Carolina. This will mark the first time that Belichick will coach the college game, as he's signing a 3-year, $30 million contract with the Tar Heels. The head coach, he'll look to bring an ACC championship to Chapel Hill, something they haven't seen there since 1980. Former West Virginia coach Rich Rodriguez, he's finalizing a deal to return to Morgantown. The 61-year-old head coach, he spent 7 seasons at WVU, and that included 3 straight 10-win campaigns and a Sugar Bowl win over Georgia in 2006. NBA Cup action, Hawks rally past the Knicks. They fly past them, 108-100. The Rockets, they rally past the Warriors, 91-90 in H-Town. I'm Dexter Henry.
Establish some good momentum, some things that we can certainly learn from. And it's, you know, these are the opportunities that you love in the NFL. And, you know, I don't know if it makes it easier or worse, but there is a familiarity. And this is what's the next game on our schedule. So here we go.
I do think that the work we've been putting in on the practice field and the meeting rooms and all that, you know, over the last however many weeks has been starting to show up. And then just having guys back and getting some continuity is a plus for us as well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua with a monster game last weekend against the Bills. That offense is coming together, and Matthew Stafford says they're starting to see the fruit of all of their hard work. Meanwhile, Sean McVay giving you a bit of the coach speak about a division rival on a short week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, we've got Rams at 7-6. Niners are still in the basement of the NFC West at 6-7. And this is a tough challenge for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners defense, missing pieces of its own. But how about Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and having to guard against both of those guys? What an incredible 1-2 punch.
A little bit. I mean, rather than not find really good players, but teams do. And Kupp's been one of the best here over however long he's been playing. And Puka showed last year he's one of the best, and he's continued to prove that this year.
As for the Niners, they had a pretty impressive offensive performance of their own last week. Now, it was against the Bears. Say what you will. You play who's on your schedule. And the Bears' defense, well, it was better to start the season. But I like what I saw from them last week. We saw Brock Purdy, who had a nice rhythm, a good timing going. We saw them use multiple different weapons, even without Christian McCaffrey, even without Jordan Mason. Now they're using the rookie Isaac Garendo. And the fact that they're still able to get over 100 yards rushing, and the fact that they were 5 for 6 in the red zone, and they used Juwan Jennings, who is turning into this security blanket for Brock Purdy when he needs to move the ball or when he needs a big touchdown. They've got a great connection. George Kittle was terrific last week with over 150 receiving yards. So that is showing. Well, they're having to adjust. They've lost a lot of people. Debo Samuel wants more touches with the ball. So it's a good problem to have when you can't keep everyone happy.
Debo and I talk every day. So, I mean, I understand Debo saying that. Debo wants to help us out. And the only way he helps us out is getting the ball more. And we'd like to get it to him more. And we'll continue to work at that.
So Debo Samuel, work him into the offense, but you've got too many other guys you have to feed. That should tell you that the offense is settled in. Though, yes, missing Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey, there's no one like him in the NFL. While we're talking about not getting enough targets, wasn't that the whole point of A.J. Brown's frustration, feeling like he didn't get targeted enough or isn't seeing the ball enough with the Philadelphia Eagles, which is why we heard Brandon Graham on his own radio show earlier in the week in Philadelphia on WIP, making some, maybe what he thought were innocuous comments about the A.J. Brown-Jalen Hurts relationship, only to have them go viral.
We know it's an issue. Everybody's seeing some things. But we need to be able to talk things out as men. You know what I'm saying? But we need to let personal stuff go. And let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff. Most of the time, it's just a conversation that just need to be had. But the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others. Okay. That's all I'm saying. I know that one is trying. And, I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed, and I understand that because life happens.
So Brandon Graham makes these comments on WIP, later apologizes and retracts them in some way. But what he essentially was saying is, or he was pointing to A.J. Brown visibly frustrated on the sidelines, airing that frustration, venting that frustration, and then Graham making it about the relationship between Jalen and AJ. Well, the first chance we had to hear from AJ himself was on Wednesday.
BG is just being BG. He's emotional. In that case, he just misspoke. You know, me and Jalen are good. So it's BG, guys. So everybody loves BG. You know, he's speaking from the heart. You know, he just giving his perception on something from the outside.
So according to A.J. Brown, he does not going to hold this against Brandon Graham. He's emotional. He spoke out of place. That's the quote. He knows that. Well, A.J. then had to answer questions about not getting the ball as much as he wants, or the fact that it sounded like he was pointing fingers at Jalen Hurts when it came to targets, and maybe their relationship comes under a microscope for that reason.
I think that's what the world did. You know, they perceived what I said about passing and felt like it was an attack on Jalen, and I think that's what he did. You know, me and Jalen's relationship is personal, so I mean... So, yeah, I can see that.
How would you characterize your relationship with Jalen right now?
Me and his relationship are good.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Did you two talk after Brandon's comment?
We've spoken. I think in the end, Brandon, BG, we're calling him Brandon, BG knows he spoke out of place, and he knows that.
The two of them went on and on about how their relationship is good. They love each other. That's what Jalen Hurts says. What about Nick Sirianni, also on WIP?
I have more information. I see them every single day. I see what's going on in the building. And so you just have, like, to me, you know, we know what there's going to be noise, and I obviously get it, you know, just based off of what's happened here in the last couple of days. But I go on my daily relationships with these guys, with myself. I go on the daily relationships that I see every single day.
So on WIP, Nick Sirianni not worried about it, says, I've got extra information. So we'll see how it plays out. So Rams and Niners tonight from the Bay Area, and then we've got a doozy of a game, and then a bunch of others. We've got Lions and Bills coming up in Week 15 and a lot of other games. We'll go hot and heavy on the NFL coming up on our Thursday night show into Friday. Of course, more reaction to Bill Belichick. Few of you weighing in on social at A-Law Radio. TJ, I think it's great. Good for him. Brian, I used to call NC or North Carolina home. Just wow. Michael, thank goodness Jerry, meaning Jerry Jones, didn't move in on him. We already have enough work to do. John says, but why? And then a lot of the varied reaction on our Facebook page as well, where I feel like I came up with the perfect GIF for this particular occasion. You can check it out on your own. John on Facebook, looking forward to seeing him coach again. Next, we'll see Tom Brady as offensive coordinator and Gronk as receivers coach. Roland, a bit surprised. Maybe he's feeling youthful because he is dating a young co-ed. Okay, she's not a co-ed. She's 24. Come on. Ron, how will this affect the NIL? Will kids want to transfer just to play for Belichick? Ooh, Brandon, as an NC State fan, I hope it works out. I like that. A little bit of juice to the rivalry. We'll do more tonight. Have a great Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.